Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been discussing the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And what a wonderful subject this is, not because I'm discussing it, but simply because in the Word of God, the subject of the Holy Spirit and His ministry in the world is a very important subject. Remember back in John chapter 7, the Lord Jesus said that when He would go away, He had not yet gone away, but when He would go away, He would send the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit would fill us to overflowing. What a wonderful promise the Lord Jesus was given there in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. And of course, in that day, the Holy Spirit was not yet sent from heaven because the Lord Jesus was still present in the world. But when He left, He sent the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to minister in the world. And what a wonderful ministry, again, this is, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we should put it in the plural because it's the ministries of the Holy Spirit in the world today and in that day, of course. And so as we've considered these ministries of the Holy Spirit, first of all, in the first half of this series of messages, we took some of the general ideas concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We didn't try to discuss any of them very deeply, although we did get into some of them, but we didn't try to discuss them very deeply. We simply were sharing with you all of the different passages that you could find in the New Testament dealing with the subject of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the last half of this series, now we're dealing with topical studies, where we're going to take individual studies concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to take them as topics, and we're going to talk about how He works extensively in the lives of believers and in the fellowship of believers we call the body of believers or the church. And the first one that we've taken has to do with the ministry of the Holy Spirit in giving and using spiritual gifts in our individual walk with the Lord in the world and in our church life. Now, this idea of spiritual gifts is a subject that has been much misunderstood. There's been a lot of false teaching on the subject. There's been a lot of error on the subject. There's been a lot of questions raised concerning the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm not saying I'm doing it perfectly, but I want to examine this subject with you, the subject of the gifts of the Spirit. We first of all took a few warnings. And then we looked at four different sections of Scripture where gifts are mentioned. We looked at Romans chapter 12. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14. We looked at Ephesians chapter 4. And we looked at 1 Peter chapter 4. And we noted that there are lists of the gifts of the Spirit in these four sections of Scripture. Now, there may be other places where the gifts are referred to, but these are the four main ones. And we noted that there's a long list of these in there. And we've been trying to examine in the last couple of messages the lists given of these gifts of the Holy Spirit, trying to define them and so forth. Now, the last one when we began to discuss, we barely got into it, but the last one we began to discuss was the gift of tongues. And the gift of tongues is a much misunderstood gift in our day. And I don't want to go deeply again into this, but we do note there's a lot of confusion on it, a lot of false teaching on the subject of tongues in our day. Now, we noted that these new tongues and other tongues are the same thing in the Scriptures. These were things that were given in the gift of tongues, and they're the same thing as far as the book of Acts is concerned, new tongues and other tongues. Now, when they spoke in tongues, we have pointed out, and I want to emphasize this again, they were not simply babbling. It was not simply nonsense talk, where they were just simply babbling with their tongue. But rather, they were speaking clear, known languages. Languages which may not have been known to the one speaking, but which was understood by others. And an interpreter, in fact, could interpret what they were saying. Someone who is given the gift of understanding the language in which they were speaking. So in other words, if I know the Filipino language but don't know the Chinese language, in that day, a person might be able to speak Chinese with a gift of tongues, and then a Chinese person would be able to hear and believe and trust the Lord Jesus. So They were not simply speaking in unintelligible sounds. Rather, they were speaking known languages. Now, I want to say again, tongues were for that day. And since tongues were for that day, the problem in the church was that tongues were being used when there was no one present who could interpret what was being spoken. In other words, they were being misused. They were being used for the glory of the people who were using them. Their selfish spirit caused them to speak in these forbidden circumstances, even though there was no one interpreting, even though the result of their speaking was to create confusion, disorder, and a poor testimony to the unsaved. Now, that's a long sentence, but I want to emphasize this again, that even in that day, when tongues were still being used, the gift of tongues was being misused by many of the believers in the church. They were being used only for selfish purposes. This particular gift was being used only for selfish purposes. Pride and arrogance was dominating the use of these of this particular gift, and I think of other gifts as well. But this particular gift, the gift of tongues, pride and arrogance was dominating the use of this gift. And so the testimony of the Lord was being affected. We see this in 1 Corinthians 14, 33, and verse 33 and verse 40. Now, Paul also stresses in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians that tongues were not to be forbidden, but they were not the most vital and the most effective gift to be used in the assembly of believers. In other words, it's very clear in the 14th chapter that tongues were not more important than prophecy. Prophecy was the most important gift of the two that would be used there. And that tongues were to be treated as a less significant gift. We notice even in the list of the gifts that it comes down near the end of the list of the gifts rather than being one of the very first ones. And so the gift of tongues was not the most emphasized gift in that day. Now, another thing that I want to note, that is until the Word of God in the New Testament was complete, tongues were still to be used. I want to emphasize this again and again. Until the end of that church age, even beyond the book of Corinthians, going on, Corinthians was written in, say, 54 or 55, 54 perhaps, A.D., but beyond that time, even down to the end of the age, probably tongues were still being used. So they did not cease just when the book of Corinthians was ended. However, it is clear in the Scriptures why they were to cease once the New Testament was finished. In other words, the New Testament clearly teaches they were to cease, and we believe they did cease by the end of the century, or at least by 125 A.D. But it was very clear in the Scriptures why these things, this particular gift of tongues, were to cease once the New Testament was finished. There are several of these, and I want to discuss this in a few moments. Their continued use might only have caused confusion, but it was also tempt the later believers in the assembly to resort to tongues as supposed new revelations from God rather than turning to the written and inspired and final and eternal Word of God. In other words, once the Word of God had come in the form of the New Testament, sometimes the believers would still believe that God was going to give new revelations to them. Or they might believe that somehow going back to the past would somehow give them something they could not get from the Bible itself. God intended, once the Word of God was given, that the Bible, the Word of God itself, would meet every need in their lives. They would not need certain of these gifts anymore. The other gifts they would still need, but certain of these gifts, like prophecy and tongues, they would not need anymore, and they would have fulfilled their purpose. And going back to these might have created error if they had gone back to these continually. And so it was very clear that when they would cease, they would not use these things anymore. And we find, in fact, in history, after about 125 A.D., we find no more use of this gift in history. People have tried to find it, and they claim they can find it, but according to the church fathers and the historians in the church history, we find no more use of this gift of tongues. Now, a question arises And we're going to be getting deeper into this subject of tongues in perhaps another message. But a question arises. Why the Corinthian church, one of the most worldly and rebellious churches of that day, seemed to be the only church where this gift of the Spirit named tongues was present? Why would he choose this church when this church was so worldly and so rebellious? Why would that church be chosen? We note, for instance, that even in the Jerusalem church, founded after the day of Pentecost, when tongues were first used publicly, there is no mention that tongues were ever part of their church life and worship. When you study the rest of the book of Acts, after the gift of tongues was given on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, but after Acts chapter 2, you never find tongues mentioned again in the assembly of believers. It's very strange why that church especially would not be using tongues. Also, throughout the book of Acts, though there are two other instances given where tongues were spoken, in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 19, there is still no reference to tongues being used in church life and worship in most places in Asia and Europe. Now you notice, as we looked at the four different lists of the gifts of the Spirit, in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4, that only in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is tongues mentioned. Well, 12 to 14, in fact, in these three chapters is tongues mentioned. But it's not mentioned in Rome, it's not mentioned in Ephesus, it's not mentioned in the places where Peter wrote his epistles, the ones to whom he wrote his epistles. And so there is a question here. Why is it that the Corinthian church was chosen? And then also, in all of the epistles, Pauline and otherwise, apart from 1 Corinthians itself, there is no further written mention of the use of tongues in church life and worship, apart from these four passages that I mentioned. There's no further, in all of the epistles, there's no further mention of the use of tongues in church life and worship. Let me repeat that again. Now, some suggest that the choice of the Corinthian church for the use of this gift in church life and worship had to do both with its place as a strategic launching place for the spread of the gospel into Western Europe, and also as a place where some of the books of the New Testament might have been written. And so this could have been the reason why God chose that particular church. Now, I want to make it very clear. God does not excuse their worldly attitude and their false use of the use of tongues and prophecy and these other gifts. In other words, these were selfish, arrogant, willful people. And God does not excuse this at all. And yet he blessed that church with these particular gifts, which we do not even find in many of the other churches and which we do not find today. You notice even in the very beginning of the book of 1 Corinthians, when you come down to the first chapter, in fact, you find beginning in verse 3, where he's speaking now of some of the things they'd been given, the gifts of knowledge and wisdom and so forth. We find that this purpose of God was to bring forth great spiritual results and to use this church in a mighty way in this pagan atmosphere, and how the believers spoiled God's use of it, how by their shameful and sinful actions they spoiled the use that God intended for this church. And when he gave these gifts to the church, these particular gifts to the church. Now, I want to be fair. This does not mean that some other churches did not use tongues. I want to be very fair and very clear in this. It simply is that they're not mentioned. They're never mentioned again in any other book or in any other church other than the church in Corinth. But I want to be fair about this. This does not mean that silence means that they were never used in any other church. It's just that they do not choose to mention this in the epistles. And so when we study this church, we will be looking a little bit about at their carnal attitudes and their carnal approaches to the use of the gifts. But this church was used by God with these gifts of prophecy and tongues. And we just believe that God had a purpose in it. He wanted his purpose to be fulfilled, even though they might not have fulfilled God's purposes. Now, as we consider again in another message this subject of tongues, I want to emphasize again to you that it is very important, even though certain gifts might not be present in the church today, and they are clearly taught that they're not present in the church today, nevertheless, we Christians are still to have and to use, with the help of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit for the glory of God. It is my prayer that God will help you to find, as you listen to this program, help you to find the gift that God has given you, the way He has endowed you with one of His gifts, and use this for the glory of God, not for personal gain or personal glory, but for the glory of God, as you work together with other believers in the world in reaching the world for Christ. May God bless you, each one.